Good afternoon. Last summer, with the impending H1N1 pandemic, the federal government unveiled its national H1N1 vaccination campaign. This campaign required state public health agencies to distribute the 2009 novel H1N1 vaccine rather than the routine retail market. The problem was Tennessee only distributes vaccine to health departments and the Federal Vaccine for Children's Program, which consists of 500 or so private providers. Therefore, Tennessee needed a novel system to distribute the H1N1 vaccine. The requirements of this system included flexibility to distribute up to 9 different vaccines from 5 different manufacturers and engage all providers statewide. We quickly recognized the more flexibility we had to fulfill orders, the quicker we could distribute vaccine. In yesterday afternoon's featured session, Dr. Kelly Moore addressed many of the overarching themes, and today I will explain more of the technical aspects of our process. Please note, for the entirety of this talk, I will use the terms facility and provider interchangeably. Although there was an established relationship between the state and VFC providers, the needs of non-VFC providers across the state were unknown. In order to better assess the vaccine requirements across the state, on August 15th, what we called pre-registration was opened through the Tennessee Web Immunization System, known as TWIS. We reached out to facilities statewide through a variety of outlets, including hospitals, professional societies, and the media. By signing up, it allowed facilities a no-obligation opportunity to learn more, as information was released from the CDC. However, pre-registering through TWIS was necessary for the ability to order vaccine when it became available. The pre-registration process consisted of several steps. Facilities began by applying online to be a part of the TWIS system. This included completing an online application and faxing a signed non-disclosure form to the Tennessee Department of Health. These steps are the standard process for all TWIS users. After a review of the application, the Tennessee Department of Health issued the facility a username and password, which granted access into the TWIS system. The facility then used their new username and password to log into the TWIS system, and once inside, there was a special section to pre-register for the opportunity for H1N1 vaccine. It is here the facility entered valuable planning information. They selected their facility type. They specified if they were an acute care hospital, an OBGYN office, a respiratory clinic, etc. We would in turn use their facility type as a proxy for the population they serve. They also estimated vaccine need, identified points of contact, and completed shipping profiles. This information was stored within TWIS, and then the Tennessee Department of Health issued the facility a pandemic PIN. After receiving more information from CDC about the formulation, doses, and licensures, we searched for a method that allowed for the greatest flexibility. This table graphically displays how we were allowed utmost flexibility if we had the facilities order by the age group they intended to vaccinate rather than brand. On the left-hand side, you will see the different manufacturers and their specific formulations, the multi-dose vial formulations at the top and the pre-filled syringe formulations at the bottom. Across the top are the age categories, and the bars represent the age groups for which each vaccine is licensed by the FDA. So for example, we see that Sanofi multi-dose vials are licensed for all age groups or age 6 months and older. However, the Sanofi 0.5 milliliter prefilled syringes are only licensed for children and adults aged 36 months and older. As an additional complication, in November, the FDA expanded the age category for which CSL was licensed, represented here with the shaded line. Using this graph, we could visually see that if we had facilities ordered by the age of the intended recipients instead of by brand, we would have the most flexibility in fulfilling this order. For example, if a provider was only intending to vaccinate adults aged 18 years and older, we could fill the order with any of the 6 formulations licensed for adults. We decided to use an online order form for initial order placement. Online, facilities identified the age group they wished to order for their population. Per shipping requirements, facilities were required to order by the box, which contained 100 doses. Finally, the provider could specify their preference for pre-filled syringes, multi-dose vials, or whichever was first available. But if we go back to the formulation by age table, we can see that even if requested a specific formulation, there were still multiple options for most age groups, and once the licensure was changed for CSL, all age groups requested could be filled with multiple formulations. Here is a screenshot of our online ordering form. Using the drop-down menus, the facility selected exactly how many boxes of vaccine they needed for each formulation and age group. In a separate question, facilities ordered boxes of live attenuated influenza vaccine. We had a slightly different online order form for smaller facilities that did not want or need an entire box of 100 doses. These facilities ordered the number of doses they needed on a similar online order. However, since they did not qualify for direct shipment of the vaccine, the local or regional health departments received the doses and then delivered the vaccine to the provider. Using Excel macros, each facility within a region was prioritized by facility type for each vaccine formulation. Each formulation had its own ranking of priority recipients. For example, acute care hospitals were the top priority for most formulations, while pediatricians were the highest priority for infant pre-filled syringes. We also decided to fulfill orders in small, frequent shipments rather than try to fill complete orders in one shipment. This allowed many points of access for the public. Now let's run through the specific steps we used to get vaccine to the providers. As I have previously mentioned, in the first step, the providers placed their orders online or by fax. The non-VFC providers placed their orders through the online order form, and the VFC providers placed their orders as they would other vaccines by faxing an order form to the Tennessee Department of Health. Orders were downloaded daily and stored in a Microsoft Access database, which is designated here as unfilled orders. Each day, the CDC sent an email containing Tennessee's allocation. We would first decide the order in which we would allocate each formulation to ensure greatest flexibility of the vaccine. For example, if CDC allocated Sanofi multi-dose vials and Novartis prefilled syringes, we would allocate Novartis prefilled syringes before Sanofi multi-dose vials. As we allocated the Novartis prefilled syringes, the amount of vaccine to be distributed was allocated first by population. Then a query was run within the unfilled orders database, which extracted all orders that could be filled with the Novartis prefilled syringes by priority, which again was according to the facility type and formulation. This query was saved as a spreadsheet and would be used as a decision support as it displayed the remaining orders to be filled for that facility and the percentage of their orders that had already been filled. Using the decision support spreadsheet, a designated member of the team manually allocated vaccine to each provider, one facility at a time. The day's allocation for Novartis prefilled syringes was manually entered into the spreadsheet. So at this point, we know who will be receiving the Novartis prefilled syringes and how many boxes. So we need to update the unfilled orders database before we allocate another vaccine. It was necessary to update the unfilled orders database in between vaccine allocations because orders could be filled with multiple vaccine formulations. Using Excel macros, we updated the database in two steps. A macro was inserted into the spreadsheet that was just completed with the day's allocation of Novartis prefilled syringes. This macro adjusted the remaining vaccine balance for the facility, accounting for the day's allocation. For example, if Hospital A had ordered 8 boxes of prefilled syringes for recipients age 18 years and older, and today they had been allocated 2 boxes, this macro would automatically subtract the 2 boxes from the total and replace it with 6. This is an extremely simplified example. Many orders were more complicated, requesting specific formulations for certain age groups, but not for others. However, the macros were designed to subtract the allocated vaccine from the age and formulation that would allow for the most flexibility in the next allocation. A second macro then used the Excel data to update the unfilled orders database in Access. At this point, the unfilled orders database was up to date, and the second formulation to be allocated for the day could begin. After all the formulations for the day had been allocated, a spreadsheet of the day's allocations were uploaded into VacMan. Using the spreadsheet uploaded into VacMan, we used Mail Merge to notify shipping notifications to all the facilities that received an allocation. This notified them which specific vaccine formulation and amount would be arriving in 48 hours. This graph represents vaccine administration in Tennessee for the first 7 weeks of the H1N1 vaccine was available. The blue line is simply the cumulative total of H1N1 vaccine administered in Tennessee. The orange line, however, depicts Tennessee's percentage of the national cumulative. As you can see, we administered over 4% of the vaccine administered in the United States in weeks 41 and 42. Please note, Tennessee only represents around 2% of the United States population. Here you can see the weekly variation of Tennessee's doses administered compared to the nation's average for the first 7 weeks. Tennessee was consistently higher than the national average doses administered each week. These results were not without some very valuable lessons learned. Maintaining the integrity of the data was critical. We had one instance in which one Excel macro was corrupt and began zeroing all of the order balances before their orders had been fulfilled. Fortunately, this only affected one order by 7 facilities. Also, we received feedback from several of these facilities whose shipments of vaccine had promptly stopped. Therefore, communication between all parties in the system is also a necessity. Finally, security of the data was a challenge. Because we were pulling the data through several different software programs, we had to severely limit the number of people that were able to access and help with the data side of vaccine distribution. In the future, if we could contain the data to one program, we would be able to increase the security of the data, which would allow for extra help in the middle of an emergency. In conclusion, with minimal time and resources, we believe we created a successful vaccine distribution system, and we were able to get vaccine throughout the state in a timely fashion. Thank you.